another big tech company is reportedly preparing to make massive layoffs. Facebook's parent company, Meta, is reportedly going to lay off thousands of employees later this week. The layoffs are a reaction to the social media platform's struggling third quarter earnings report. But Facebook isn't alone. Just a few months ago, Snap, Microsoft, and Twitter laid off thousands of its employees as well. Former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey took to Twitter to respond to the criticism he received over the firings. Folks at Twitter, past and present, are strong and resilient, he said. They will always find a way, no matter how difficult the moment. I realize many are angry with me. I own the responsibility for why everyone is in this situation. I grew the company size too quickly. I apologize for that. The layoffs happened after Elon Musk officially took over the company. Several changes are expected to still play out. Musk warned Twitter users about one of those changes over the weekend. In a tweet, Musk warned users to stop making parody accounts. Musk says Twitter will not begin permanently suspending users if they make parody accounts without the other person's permission. Left-wing nut job Kathy Griffin decided to test the waters by impersonating Musk and was immediately banned from the platform. Let's bring in Revolver News Darren Beatty to discuss all this and much more, since there's just so much going on. Darren, it's good to see you.
Great to be back. Thank you.
So what do you make of all these layoffs?
Well, looks like they're necessary. And in fact, maybe there should be more. You know, in light of the layoffs we're seeing at Twitter under Elon, it's really drawn attention to just how over bloated a lot of these tech companies have become. In fact, there's one statistic that I encountered. Now, I'm not sure I'm getting it exactly right, but spiritually it's right, in directionally it's right, but it's something like if Meta wanted to restore its employee size to what it was in like 2019 or 2018, it would have to cut its workforce in half, which can give you a sense of the type of like almost exponential growth and bloat that a lot of these tech companies have had. And, you know, it's actually a fairly common story of tech companies that start as just very lean and mean and efficient startups animated by an important kind of new purpose. And then they end up as these basically as mini governments in all of the senses of that term, including that bloated bureaucratic element. And so, you know, in times where there's free money flowing, that can be sustainable temporarily. But then when people need to tighten their belts, layoffs are necessary. And it looks like this might only be the beginning. I think a lot of tech companies are looking at the Twitter example with a lot of envy, and we might see other companies follow suit.
Yeah, also, I would suspect that the reduced workforce would also be a reduce in opposition that might allow Elon Musk to more effectively make the changes he has suggested he would make at Twitter, wouldn't you think?
Right, I think so. You know, when Elon's purchase became official, a lot of people were noticing, big, jump in follower counts and just things. There seemed to be a lot less friction on the platform that would typically suggest like some fundamental changes in algorithm. But really what it seems like has happened so far is just more interest in the platform in light of this new ownership. So a lot of people joining, hence people getting follower counts. And also there could be something to the fact that the people who would ordinarily be engaged in content moderation on a very active level are either looking for new jobs or are otherwise engaged. And so there's just not as much bandwidth for the sensors to operate. And so the combination of a lot of new people joining the platform or old people who are testing the waters now and signing back up, plus a limited bandwidth for content moderation, creates the appearance of some kind of more fundamental change at the algorithmic content moderation policy level that hasn't happened yet. It could happen. I hope it does, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, I'm still scratching my head over the maintaining of Yul Roth, but we're going to discuss that with another guest a little later in the show, because I do want to get to the weekend rallies by former President Donald Trump. You're in Florida. I understand you were at the one in Miami-Dade. That's a lot going on there in the Republican momentum. But this what Trump had to say about Ron DeSantis over the weekend got mixed reactions. It started an interesting debate, I think, in the Republican Party. This is what he said in Pennsylvania about the Florida governor. Listen.
Trump at 71, Ron DeSanctimonious at 10%, Mike Pence at 7. Oh, Mike's doing better than I thought.
You could hear even the kind of murmur of the crowd being like, okay, so what do you make of this?
Well, I mean, I think people love drama, so and so we're, you know, tend to make more of it than it deserves. At the rally that I attended yesterday, he was very positive toward DeSantis, and, you know, the rally was for Rubio, and he was very positive about Rubio, and, you know, they have a history, to say the least, going back to the campaign. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Trump likes to have fun. He likes to remind people that he is the epicenter of the party, which frankly he is. And, you know, it'd been a long time since I'd attended a Trump rally. I hadn't attended rally since I was working in the White House as a speechwriter. And, wow. You know, the devotion that people have to Trump is something unique in American politics, and we may not ever see it again, frankly. And I think people, like, whatever their opinion of Trump in terms of how he governed, and not just, you know, the left-wing people that hate him, but on the right, there's sort of a, you know, a conversation about whether, you know, he should continue to run and this and that and how he governed. And there are a lot of fair points on all sides. But I think in order for people to remain rooted in reality, there has to be a basic kind of consensus acknowledgement that nobody comes close to matching the devotion and connection with the voting populace that Trump has. And I saw it yesterday. Yeah. It's still there. That is a very rare kind of thing that is just, you know, it's almost impossible to replicate. And I think people tend to underestimate the importance of that type of capability. I'd say the closest that I've seen to an active politician exhibiting that right now is Carrie Lake. I think she has some of that gift as well. But it's something that, you know, policies are important, ideology is important, but as I've said in a recent piece, you know, policy can be faked, but charisma can't be faked, and a real connection with an audience can't be faked. And the more connection a politician has with the people, the less leverage the handlers have. And so it's important for a variety of reasons. That's just the way it is. That's just the nature of political reality and mass psychology. And so you love Trump, you hate Trump, but he possesses a very, it's simply a unique connection with a vast amount of voters in the United States.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, and you're definitely reminded of that when you go to a Trump rally. But also, if you just get out of the cities, right, and you drive around the country, which I do quite often now that I left the swamp, and there's still such, you know, a devotion to Trump and Trump signs everywhere, even new ones. You know, it's a phenomenon I've never seen, and I agree. Most politicians just don't have that kind of charisma, as we both know, because we spent so much time around them. I hope you had fun.
Oh, it was tremendous. A lot of great people. Mike Lindell was there. A lot of good people there. But yeah, it was a great crowd. And I have to say, like, there was the moment at the end, you know, there's a storm brewing, and then it just started pouring on everyone, just pouring and pouring. And I thought, okay. He's going to wrap it up. But there is this like cinematic scene that really gives you a sense of Trump's deep, deep, deep understanding of spectacle. that comes from instinct, yeah, natural ability, and decades of showmanship as a TV and media personality. And he would just stay there. He let the rain pour down on him, and there was music, and it was a vibe, let me tell you. People loved it. He fed off the energy. It was a great culmination to and there's just something about it that's just the rain pouring down on him and him getting soaked and just keep going. It was a spectacle. It was a moment. And, you know, not a lot of people could
He's one of the best producers I've ever met. And he's also a lighting expert. He fixed his own lighting once when I was interviewing. He's something else. Thanks so much, Darren. It's good to see you.
Thank you.